Good day, everybody. Hope everybody's fine out there, wherever you may be. This is another episode of Then and Now. I'm your host, John Shomo, and we're going to cover a lot of different stuff today, so hang in there. Everything from a total eclipse of the sun to golf to college hoops to, just a lot of stuff. TV. Let's get going. As we usually do, we'll start with what we're going to call facts for the week, the upcoming week starting Wednesday, April 10th through Tuesday, April 16th. So here we go. On April 10th, the first ever Akron Aeros game, the first ever baseball game at the new Canal Park in downtown Akron, was played on that date in 1997. Jarrett Wright pitched the game for the Aeros. He would pitch game seven of the World Series for the Cleveland Indians that October. Canal Park is a wonderful thing for our community, as you might know, and that was the opener there, first game. The Akron Aeros, now called the Rubber Ducks. On April 10th, 1970, Paul McCartney announced that he had left the Beatles in a magazine interview. That had happened a while back. They had broken up basically over business decisions, mostly. And that was kind of a fait accompli. Still, it kind of rocked the world to know that they were finally, not going to record together again. Birthdays on April 10th, the late, great John Madden, not only a great coach, Super Bowl winning coach of the Oakland Raiders, but then he lent his name and expertise to, as you all know, a video game, which became, maybe the greatest selling sports video game of all time. John Madden, born on April 10th, 1936. Corey Kluber, born on April 10th, 1986, that makes him da, 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 38 years old today. He has won two Cy Young Awards, won them both while pitching for Cleveland. He recently announced his retirement in the spring. Corey Kluber, one of the great pitchers in Cleveland baseball history. On April 11th, 1945, American troops came upon what was the awful scene of the Nazi death camp at Buchenwald. That was our guys saw those horrors on April 11th, 1945. The world should never forget what they saw. On April 11th, 1951, President Truman had had it with General MacArthur and his crazy statements coming out of Korea, and he fired General MacArthur, which was a very controversial and very unpopular move at first. MacArthur had a great reputation, as he should have, as a World War II hero, but he was going around Korea saying things like we should drop 50 atomic bombs in China and then send the US Army in right afterwards. And he was given these interviews unauthorized. The president's still the commander in chief. And Truman finally had had it, and he fired MacArthur. Very unpopular at the time. Looking back on it now, I think most rational people realize that he really didn't have another choice at that moment. The birthday on April 11th will be Ethel Kennedy. Ethel Kennedy, the widow of the late Senator Robert F. Kennedy, who was assassinated in 1968. Ethel Kennedy will be 96 on April 11th. Her eldest son is the crazy Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is running for president this year as an independent. I threw that modifier in there, crazy myself. Okay. Moving on, April 12th, big day in history. Confederates began bombing Fort Sumter in the Charleston, South Carolina harbor on April 12th, 1861. That is recognized as the first shots, the first battle of the American Civil War. The only casualty in the 36 hours of the bombardment was a Confederate horse, yet it opened the bloodiest and most costly war in American history. On April 12th, 1945, the country was stunned to hear on the radio that President Franklin D. Roosevelt had died of a cerebral hemorrhage at Warm Springs, Georgia, his winter White House. That was April 12th, 1945. People knew that he was not well. You could tell from the pictures, but still it was a shock. My relatives who were around at the time always said that that was one of the most shocking days of their lives when they found out that FDR was dead. My father was on a ship in the Pacific Ocean in the Navy, and the reactions, he always told me there were two reactions of his fellow sailors when they heard the news of FDR's passing. One was genuine sadness, whether the sailors were Republicans or Democrats or independents. It was kind of a different time then, and Roosevelt had led us through the Great Depression, first of all, and then to the brink, really, of a victory in World War II. There was genuine sadness among, he said, virtually all of the sailors on the ship. And the second most common reaction, he said, and I'm quoting my dad here now, "Who the hell is Harry Truman?" Truman had only been vice president for less than 90 days, and they were all wondering, what's this guy going to be like? Well, they couldn't have possibly dreamed that Harry Truman would be the character and strong leader that he turned out to be. On April 12, 1955, Dr. Jonas Salk's polio vaccine was deemed safe and effective by the FDA and was allowed to be administered all over the country and later on all over the world. Hooray, vaccines. On April 12, 1961, Yuri Gagarin became the first human being to fly in space. The Russian cosmonaut orbited the Earth one time on April 12, 1961, signifying that they still had a lead on us in the so-called space race. Birthdays on April 12th, David Letterman, probably of all the late night hosts since Johnny Carson, David Letterman was my favorite. I liked his weird sense of humor. I still do. David Letterman will be 77 on April 12th. Ted Ginn Jr., the Buckeye great, who had a long NFL career, long and successful NFL career. Ted Ginn Jr. from Cleveland, Ohio, will be 39 on April 12th. And my mom, Lois Shomo, was born on that date in 1926. April 13th, the Boston Celtics won their first NBA title on April 13th, 1957. What a game! Too bad that game wasn't nationally televised back in the 50s. Game 7 against the St. Louis Hawks was a 125 to 123 double overtime win for the Celtics at the Boston Garden, their first of their 17 NBA titles. Bill Russell had 19 points and 32 rebounds. Yes, I read that right, 32 rebounds. Tommy Heinsohn had 37 points and 23 rebounds for the Celtics in that landmark victory, their first NBA championship. The Beatles recorded "Help, They Need Somebody" on April 13th, 1965. Jack Nicklaus, the Ohio native, the Buckeye, won his sixth green jacket at Augusta. More about Augusta in a few minutes here. Won his sixth Masters. He was 46 years old, which then with people didn't think he had it in him anymore. He proved them wrong by just shooting a 30 or so on the back nine on Sunday, and won his sixth green jacket on April 13th, 1986. Still, maybe the greatest day of golf television watching that there's ever been. Speaking of the Masters, Tiger Woods won his first green jacket by 12 shots, a margin of 12 shots, at the age of 21 on April 13th, 1997. Talk about an announcement. Hey, I'm here, world. Boy, that was really amazing, and it launched one of the great careers of in golf history. April 13th, 1743, Thomas Jefferson, born in rural Virginia near what's now Charlottesville, Virginia, writer of the Declaration of Independence, one of our founding fathers, very complex guy to know about and to read about. And West Virginia native John W. Davis, candidate for president for the Democrats in 1924, lost to Calvin Coolidge, later was the lawyer in the separate but equal case, the lawyer for the states who wanted to keep education separate but equal in terms of race. John W. Davis, born April 13th, 100 years ago, 1924. On to April 14th, the Confederates ended the siege and captured Fort Sumter on April 14th, 1861. On April 14th, 1865, President Lincoln shot and mortally wounded at Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C., while watching the play Our American Cousin by the actor John Wilkes Booth. He died the next morning at 7:22 a.m. in the house across the street. The Titanic struck an iceberg near midnight, April 14th, 1914, and wound up killing almost 1,500 people. Lots of birthdays for April 14th. Pete Rose, the all-time Major League hit leader, still not eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame. If you want to start a controversy, particularly in Southern Ohio, go around talking about that for a while. Pete Rose will be 83 on April 14th. Comedian and actor Steve Martin will be 79 years old on April 14th. Hall of Fame pitcher over 350 wins Greg Maddux will be 58. My father-in-law, Bill Hardgrove, he'll be 85 on April 14th. Happy birthday, Bill. And Baker Mayfield. Some of you guys out there, Browns fans, love him or hate him, but everybody seems to have an opinion about Baker. Baker Mayfield, the 2017 Heisman Trophy winner at Oklahoma, will be 29 years old on April 14th. Just signed a big contract to stay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. April 15th, tax day. That's the day on which your returns need to be mailed or emailed in to the IRS. So make sure you're up on that if you need to file a tax return. April 15th is the day. As I mentioned before, President Lincoln passed away on April 15th, 1865, and Andrew Johnson, his vice president, became president. Jackie Robinson's first ever game in the major leagues, a milestone for the sport and for all sports, really, in our country. Jackie Robinson played his first game for the Dodgers at Ebbets Field against the Boston Braves on April 15th, 1947. Went 0 for 3, drew a walk, scored a run, and excited everybody by his mere presence. What a landmark day for the country that was. April 15th, 2013. I remember doing a radio show. My friend Tom Linder and Joe Dunn had a radio show on local radio, and they would often call me the Monday after the Masters to get a Masters recap, myself being a golf coach. So I was doing an interview with them live on the radio, and I had the television on in the background at our house, and I noticed something strange had happened at the Boston Marathon. And I think Tom and Joe were noticing the same thing. We kind of cut the interview a little bit short. The Boston Marathon bombing, for those of you not familiar with that, two or three pipe bombs were set off in trash cans or receptacles along the stretch of the finish of the Boston Marathon, and two or three folks were killed and many were injured. There's a couple of great movies made about the search for the bombers. They ultimately found them, killed one of them still in prison. Birthdays for April 15th, Leonardo da Vinci, born on April 15th, 1452. Nikita Khrushchev, the longtime leader of the Soviet Union in the 50s and early 60s, who about brought us to the brink of nuclear war in 1962 during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Nikita Khrushchev, born April 15th, 1894. Four-time Olympic gold medalist American runner Evelyn Ashford will be 67 years old on April 15th, one of the great sprinters of all time. Finishing this one up for this week, April 16th. Slavery was abolished in our nation's capital. Get this date. April 16, 1862, a year into the Civil War, slavery had not been deemed illegal in Washington, D.C. Well, that's just stunning, really, to me. But D.C. had tended to be a southern town in terms of its culture. Bob Feller of the Cleveland Indians pitched the only opening day no-hitter in Major League Baseball history on April 16, 1940, pitched it at Old Comiskey Park at 34th and Shields in Chicago. 1-0 win for the Indians over the White Sox that day. April 16th, 1962, Walter Cronkite was named the anchor of the CBS Evening News. That was a good decision. He's the best that ever did it. 32 people were killed in a mass shooting at Virginia Tech University on April 16th, 2007. Birthdays on April 16th include Chance the Rapper, who will be 31, Bill Belichick, who is now unemployed, as far as I know. He'll be 72 years old on April 16th. And the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Original name was Lew Alcindor. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar will be 77. One of the smartest, most intelligent, most erudite athletes in American history, I think. The great UCLA star went on to play for the Milwaukee Bucks and then the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, there's our recap of events and birthdays and so forth for next week. We'll move on to several current event topics here, and we'll hit three or four of them here today. One, how about the eclipse? Monday's eclipse, total eclipse of the sun over Northeast Ohio. I was just so happy I got to see it. It was just amazing. Pretty much everybody had the day off. Tammy and I were out in the backyard with the glasses, I had made a playlist of some songs on Spotify, and I was spinning the tunes and watching the sun go down. It was great. Glad I got to see it. There was some pyromaniac in our neighborhood that shot off fireworks during the totality, which I really thought was kind of a jerky move there. It was very, I don't want to say a religious experience, but it was very communal at that moment, I thought. And then bang, 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 fireworks. Okay, great. We didn't really need that. But what a day. What an event. That was awesome. Glad I got to see it. Okay, college hoops. Let's handle college hoops next. First of all, congratulations to the winner of the Then and Now contest for the men's basketball tournament. Nikki Kammer Yates held on and won. Congratulations, Nikki. I'll congratulate you in person soon here at the Hall of Fame induction. Congratulations to the South Carolina women's team, who finished an undefeated season. That's so hard to do. Coach Dawn Staley was so classy after the game, complimenting Caitlin Clark and the Iowa players, and just I thought she was tremendous. She's a class act. The women's college basketball final on ABC had a higher TV rating, I think it was 18.7 million viewers, than any sporting event except football and the Olympics in the last 5 years. Think about that. The popularity of women's college basketball has never been so high. Here's the trick. Now, the next step for that sport would be making the WNBA more popular. I think that's going to be tough, not because the players aren't great or the competition isn't great, but because of when the games are played. The WNBA, as you may know, plays in July and August and September. I think they kind of have their finals in October because they use NBA arenas, and the NBA gets going usually around mid-October. I think it's hard to sustain high television ratings for really anything in the middle of the summertime. People are out and about and doing different things. We'll see. We'll see about tickets sold to games. I know that the Indiana Fever has the first draft choice, and I think I know who that's going to be. That'll be the next hurdle for the sport. But what a year, what a couple of years it's been for women's college basketball. I've enjoyed watching the games so much. They're so competitive and exciting. I think it's been great for the sport. Let's see if they can clear that next hurdle. Congratulations, congratulations, congratulations to the Connecticut men's basketball team. Repeating is a very, very tough thing to do in athletics, and they rolled everybody. They had the biggest margin of victory for the six games of the men's tournament of any team in the history of the tournament. They've won back-to-back championships. They are now in the top four of universities in terms of NCAA tournament titles all time. They kicked Duke and Indiana out of the top four. It is UCLA with 11 titles, Kentucky, who's now looking for a coach, by the way, with eight. UConn and North Carolina now are tied for third with six championships each. Duke and Indiana are next with five. Okay, so congratulations to the Huskies. They just dominated a very good Purdue team in the championship game. All right, Major League Baseball, let's tackle that. The Pirates, even though they blew a game Tuesday afternoon to the Detroit Tigers, lost it in the ninth inning. They're off to a great start. They're 9-3. The Guardians are 8-2 or 9-2 or something like that. And it set me to thinking, wouldn't that be something if, and I know the odds are pretty long on this, but wouldn't it be something if we wound up with a Pirates Guardians World Series, Cleveland and Pittsburgh going at it for six or seven games? I just think that would be so great. I don't know if the TV networks would like that, but I would sure love to see that. That would be awesome, as long as the Pirates won. Okay. And the other note I wrote about Major League Baseball, it's a new era. Everybody's playing everybody. The lines between the National League and the American League have been blurred. The Pirates' first three home series this year in Pittsburgh are with the Baltimore Orioles, the Detroit Tigers, and the Boston Red Sox. I'm wondering if we're still in the National League. It just doesn't seem right. I know it is what it is, and there's nothing I can do about it, but it's just there's something off about that, in my opinion. Okay, looking forward here as we record, this is Tuesday late afternoon. The Masters is less than 48 hours away. A tradition unlike any other. I'm sure you'll hear that from Jim Nantz over the weekend on CBS. Tiger Woods, first of all, he's walking. His biggest challenge will be walking the course for 2 or 4 days, depending if he makes the cut. The course has so much elevation change in it. A couple of you probably listening have been there. You know what I'm talking about. The elevation changes, TV doesn't do it justice. And his problem won't be playing and hitting the golf ball. It'll be surviving walking that course for that many days. We'll see. I'm sure a lot of folks will be rooting him on. We'll see if he can make the cut. I think making the cut for Tiger at this point in time would be a tremendous success. That's my personal opinion. The betting favorites in this order, I'll give you the top five, and then I'll go to my pick here. The top five betting favorites this week, one is Scottie Scheffler, the number one player in the world. He certainly has played great this year. He won the Masters in 2022. Second betting favorite is Rory McIlroy. Rory has had a star-crossed existence, let's say, at Augusta. He's never won it. It's the only major tournament he's not won. And if he doesn't try too hard, he has a chance. I will put it that way. I think he's tried too hard in the past. The third betting favorite is Brooks Koepka off the LIV Tour. Brooks Koepka was in the final group last year. The fourth betting favorite was the defending champion, Jon Rahm, obviously a strong contender once again. The fifth betting favorite is Wyndham Clark, the defending U.S. Open champion. We'll see. It's his first time ever at the Masters, so that could be a tough trick to pull off, but he's certainly got the talent. I know on a podcast a few weeks ago, I kind of mentioned as an answer to one of the three good questions that I thought Brooks Koepka was a man to watch at Augusta this year. I'm going to stick with that, and I'm going to say that my prediction will be a Brooks Koepka green jacket on Sunday late afternoon. But always enjoy. I think it's the best, just personal opinion, I think it's the best TV presentation of any sporting event on any network. They just do it right. It's so great to watch. It's a, as they say, a tradition unlike any other. Okay, moving on to our last bit here. We did get three good questions once again. Thank you all for keeping that going. The email address is then and now. The name of the podcast is then and now. The email address is threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's threegoodquestions@gmail.com. The first question, and I'll let you guys answer this one yourselves, is from Jeff Cole. What can you put in a bucket to make it weigh less? What can you put in a bucket to make it weigh less? I'll let you figure that one out on your own. Second question is from Talmadge High School Class of 2000 graduate Chad Lowry. Thanks, Chad. Chad wrote a nice note saying several members of the Class of 2000 are enjoying the podcast. Shout out to the Class of 2000 at THS. Way to go, folks. Hope you're having a good time. Chad writes, who were the best three athletes of all time? Talk about a loaded question. My goodness. I took some time and thought about that, but I think the first two were automatic choices by me, and they go back a long way. The first person I thought about was Babe Didrikson Zaharias, who was the first, really, I think, great female multi-sport athlete in American history in the 1940s and 50s. Golf, baseball, whatever, she played at all, and she was tremendous. Tremendous. How you know that is you listen to the male athletes of the time talk about how great she was. That's why Babe Didrikson Zaharias is number one. Well, she's not number one. She's in the top three here. I also include Jim Thorpe, who was voted the greatest athlete of the first half of the 20th century by the sports writers at the time. Football player, Major League Baseball player, is in the Football Hall of Fame. He played for the New York Giants in baseball. He won Olympic medals in track and field. He was widely regarded as the best athlete of his time. And the third, and gosh, there could be about 25 or 30 people you could nominate for this, but I'm going to go with Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson, Heisman Trophy winner at Auburn, went into the National Football League with the Raiders, and at the same time into Major League Baseball with the Kansas City Royals, was an all-star in baseball, was himself a great player in the NFL until he hurt his hip very badly on an awkward tackle in a game against the Bengals. And he came back and played. He didn't play football again. He came back and played baseball a little bit for the White Sox, but he just wasn't the same. He had a noticeable limp, and he never was the same athlete after that injury. But before that, I mean, he could do anything. So I'll go with Babe Didrikson-Zaharias, Jim Thorpe, and Bo Jackson. There are lots of others. Babe Ruth comes to mind, but we'll take those three, Chad, and we'll run with them. Okay, the third question from brother-in-law Mike. And this is a good one. I had to look this one up. Why are doctor slash medical scrubs either blue or green? Now, in the olden days, long before even me, they used to be white all the time. So I looked it up, and the answer really is that the colors blue or green refreshes a doctor's vision of red things. If doctors see blood and the insides of people, a lot of red and pink, and green happens to be opposite of red on the color wheel. And I'm not an optometrist or anything like that, but reading the answer, it kind of makes sense that you'd want to have something that didn't bother a doctor's vision or make it fuzzy or anything like that. So I guess blue or green, as the doctor looks around and he or she sees blue and green scrubs around them, it's better for their eyesight when they get down to the patient than white scrubs or any other color. So that's something I never thought about, and that's a really good question. So thanks, Mike, for the question. Again, you can send your questions in, questions, comments, whatever you have, at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's going to do it for this week. Thanks for listening in. You can find us on Spotify. This is episode 7. I'm John Shomo, your host. Have a great week. Good luck wherever you are, and we'll see you. Talk to you next week. Thanks very much.